First Corinthians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, I'd like for you to look on to somebody something. And verse 26. Paul says, "For consider your calling, brethren. But there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." Paul was a man, if there was ever one who could boast, Paul could boast. Paul was a great man by many standards. And yet he'd come to the place in this scripture where it said he could only boast in the Lord. But the verse I'd like for you to notice is verse 26, because it's going to introduce what I'd like to share with you for the next several nights. It says, "For consider your calling, brethren." And I would like to share over the next several nights about the call of God. The call of God. What does it mean, the call of God? I'd like for us to begin by a little homework exercise here. Let's see, I need that stuff. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1, getting back to that. Consider your call, brothers and sisters. And what I'd like for you to do in these next couple of days is consider God's call for you. Now, what does it mean? You know, we use this phrase so much. The call of God, the calling of God, His calling. It's used many times in the Bible. And what happens every time we have a phrase like that is it starts to lose its meaning. Okay, hey, listen. We're going to have a short time of Bible study tonight, but I would like you to pay attention. All right? Okay? When we're talking about the calling, the problem is the term, the word, is so familiar that everybody thinks, oh, the calling of God. Well, that means, and sometimes people don't really know. I'd like for you to, if you could, kind of take that word out of its meaning and context right now, and then I'd like for us to reinsert it at the end of the week, what it means, the calling of God. Because it really means something a lot more than we usually think of when we think of the calling of God. How many of you saw that movie? What is it, Old God? Is that what it was? Yeah? You guys see that movie? Now listen, the basic bottom line of the call of God is that God really speaks. Just like John Denver, you know, was minding his own business and one day God spoke to him. And the object of the game in the Christian life is really this, that God speaks. And if God doesn't speak to you, then there's some problem. We talk about the Christian life, and these men, Lance Lambert, Stephen Kahn, and Manfred Howard, are sharing, assuming something very basic about the Christian life, and that is that you can hear the voice of God. If we don't hear God's voice, we're cooked. Because the Christian faith is based upon us hearing God, not going by rules, or not just going by what other people say, but by hearing God. Now that's what it means, the call of God. The call of God means that God has a voice. And secondly, the call of God means that God speaks. That's our basis of guidance. How are you going to know what to do when you grow up? Who to marry?
what school to go to, what job to take. The basis of guidance is you've got to hear God's voice. And all of that is wrapped up with the call of God. God calls the people. Now, I know even when we say that, that some of you can think, from what you know of the Bible, to some Old Testament men, or to some New Testament men, who are walking down the road, and God called them. But I want you to understand that that means that God literally spoke to these people. And I also mean that if you're going to walk as a Christian today, God needs to speak to you. Now, God wants to speak to you. And that's what we're talking about, the call of God. You know, the call of God is very mysterious. How does God speak to men? It's more mysterious than just having somebody talk to you, like somebody calling you up on the phone. The call of God is deep. Turn to, I think it's Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And in verse 7 of Psalm 42, we just find this interesting phrase that speaks about the mysterious call of God. It says in verse 7, deep calls to deep at the sound of the waterfall. Now, this is talking in some sort of poetic phraseology, but one of the things that this means is this. Deep calls to deep. Jesus, when he came in Galilee, called men. And there was something deep about the way he called people. I mean, if you look in the New Testament and you see, basically what the Bible says is Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting right there, and he went over to Matthew and said, "Now follow me." And there was something so deep about the way Jesus said it that Matthew actually got up, left his job, probably got fired, and got in trouble. Just because Jesus said, "Follow me." Jesus went over, there were some men who were fishing and mending their nets. Jesus said, "Follow me." But there's something deep in that. The calling of God is deep. I don't know exactly what it was about the way Jesus spoke, because he spoke words just like us. He had a voice that sounded probably something like us. But when he spoke, there's something deep under there. And God's calling is deep. It's mysterious in that way. It's kind of deep. You know, turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Find another verse that is kind of mysterious when we talk about call. Hebrews chapter 3. And in verse 1 it says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling." Now here's the word calling, and it's called a heavenly calling. Now let me just ask you a question then, see if anybody is understanding this thing. Let me put it this way. What is an earthly calling? Can somebody give me an example of what an earthly calling is? What's that? When somebody on earth calls you, all right, maybe that we can call that an earthly calling. How about another example? Long distance. We got trouble over there. I can see it right now. Person says, one example of an earthly calling would be like a procession if somebody goes in. You know, you feel, hey, you know, I'd be interested in microbiology, you know, whatever. And it becomes a field, a vocation for you, some kind of a job. You feel like an earthly calling or pull toward that. Now, what's a heavenly call?
When God calls
you. Okay? It's very simply put. So when God calls you, what is the heavenly calling? Is he calling you up to heaven?
Maybe one day he will. Call him.
Here's one at a time. What are we saying?
He's calling you to do his work here on earth.
He's calling you to do his work. Well, why is it called heavenly calling? Is it earthly work or heavenly work?
Heavenly work on earth.
Heavenly work on earth. That's kind of mysterious. You see what I'm trying to get at? The calling of God is very strange. You know what? Paul says in one place, he says, "Oh, I have such a calling inside." And his friend said, what's that calling? Paul says, I have such a calling inside to leave this body and go to heaven.
His friend looked at him.
But Paul had been a Christian for such a long time, and he was so in love with Jesus that he wanted to be in heaven to know, see Jesus face to face. He said, you know, there's something calling me even out of his body to heaven. And maybe that's partly a heavenly call. Anyway, the Bible says when we become Christians, we shouldn't keep on bothering and worrying about things on earth, but we should look up to heaven and seek the things that are above. Heavenly Christ, sort of mysterious. And in Ephesians chapter 1, let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Dawn, how about reading that for us? Good Dawn, right here.
I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory and his inheritance of the saints.
Okay. That verse says that we, along with verse 17, that verse says that the calling of God is so mysterious that we need a special revelation. We need something, a miracle, to open our ears so we can hear the call of God. Now some of you right here tonight would probably think, because you love the Lord, if God would only tell me what to do, I would do it. But you know what the problem is? We need a miracle, a revelation it's called. We need to have a miracle so we understand what God's saying to us. Do you know something? God is talking to us. Our problem is we're trying to tune in, but it's static. Now, the calling of God that we're going to talk about is not only mysterious. It's heavenly. It's beyond words. It's kind of deep. But it's also very comprehensive. Now just look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again. I just want to show you how comprehensive this calling could possibly be. Beginning of verse 21, we find that the calling of God is, for one thing, a calling to salvation. Now listen to this. Verse 21 says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, the Jews a stumbling block, the Gentiles foolishness," and here's the word called again, "but for those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now this verse says that for the people who are called, for the people God calls, his word becomes salvation. Jews and Gentiles all come to know Jesus and are saved because they're called. The calling has to do with salvation. But look at another place in chapter 1. Verse 1 of chapter 1. We find the word used again. In verse 1 it says, Paul called as an apostle. So the calling of God, this doesn't only have to do with salvation, it also has to do with your ministry, what God wants you to do. Paul was called to salvation, but it says he was also called to be an apostle. But the word calling is more bigger and broader than that. It isn't just a matter of what job you're supposed to have. It isn't just a matter of being saved. Look at verse 2, chapter 1. Paul says he's writing to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. Now the word saints means holy one. You know, when God calls, he not only calls to save you. He not only calls to give you a job, but he calls you to be holy. When you hear God's voice, he's saying, I want you to be holy. And look also in verse 9. The word calling is used again, and it's used in a different way, even a broader way. It says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, when God called down from heaven into your life, he didn't just call you to save you. He didn't just call you to give you a job. He didn't just call you to make you holy, but he also called you to talk, to fellowship with Jesus. Part of the reason God called you, if you came to God right now in heaven and said, excuse me, God, I just want to get some straight away. I mean, why would you call me? God says, well, part of the reason is I just wanted you to talk to my son this morning. You say, well, that's sort of strange. Don't you have enough friends? But that's part of the reason that we were called into fellowship with his son. Now, you know how I kind of picture, would you just listen to this a second? It's like this. It's like God's call comes across on the whole radio band. But we are so small in our understanding that we can't understand the whole call at one time. It's like this. Hey, I got a question for you. This is television movie trivia. Anybody know the name of the movie that came out in the 50s? It's been on television a dozen times. And it's about the day that this preacher was in this church, in this congregation, and God spoke, right in the service. And then he spoke again, and the final thing was he spoke on the radio to the whole United States. Any of you see that movie? It is a dumb movie, I mean, but... And this guy was standing in there, I think he was in his office one day, this preacher, just getting ready to speak, and God spoke and said, Reverend Brown, and God told him what to say. Well, he went out there, he says, well, God spoke to me, and everybody said, hey, off to the Rooney farm. But the next Sunday they came together and God spoke to the whole congregation. He came in, he started speaking, said, I want you people to hear my voice. You know, really freaked them out. I mean, there were 50 people in the service the Sunday before. Now there was 400 squints to the new church. Then he says, I'm going to speak to everybody on the radio. And then it's Sunday at 6 o'clock. Everybody's on the radio, you know, and they cut off the music, everything, on all the stations, on every band, every station on AM, on the radio, God spoke.
AM.
Yeah, it was only on AM. But back in those days, there wasn't much FM when the movie was made. See, they didn't know how to be cool. So, God spoke on AM. Probably on FM too, actually. They didn't make a big point of that thing in the movie. But now, the point I want to make is this. When God calls, he calls on 570 on your dial. He calls on 790 on your dial. He calls on 1010 on your dial. He calls on 1240 on your dial. But usually you're only tuned into one of those things. Or maybe if you're really good, you've got two radios, you tuned into two. Now what am I saying? I'm saying this. God, when he calls a word like this to you, and he says, Sarah, he says, I want you, and he talks to you, and this is what he's saying. He talks about salvation. He talks about being holy. He talks about fellowship with him. He talks about your job. He talks about your ministry. But you're only tuning in, you know, a little bit. Do you ever notice somebody who gets saved? They come to Jesus and they immediately feel two things. I've been saved, and they also feel God wants me to serve him in full-time ministry. You say, how did they hear that? It's when they heard the call, they were in on a couple of channels. Or you hear somebody say, wow, man, I got my socks frightened off of me last night. Say, how come? It's just because I was just praying. It's like I heard God speak. And he says, you better lay down that pot smoking you're doing all the time. But it really scared me because I really felt like it was God speaking to me. And what happened is that God was calling them and they happened to be tuned in on 790 on the dial. And they heard God talking. Now, God called you and God calls me, and for the rest of your life, you have a responsibility to try to tune in and hear exactly what he's saying. I just want you to turn one more verse in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11, and what we're going to do for the next few nights is look at the life of Paul and see how Paul was called. I mean, how did a guy who was a short Jewish man suddenly become such an apostle? You know how? He says, God called me, and it did something in his life. And really, the purpose of my heart is that you can hear God's call for your life, too. You know, God's call is you. And so, in Galatians 1:11, we find this short story about how God called Paul. Now listen. I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from other men, nor was I taught it by reading, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul was saying, I'm preaching because God revealed something to me. I'm just not preaching what other people told me. I'm preaching what God showed me. He goes on and says, you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. So when he, that is God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, there it is, called me, was pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh or blood. That is, I didn't go to other Christians and say, now what's God saying? I mean, what's God saying I should do? Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles, to the leaders, and say, oh, Pastor, tell me, well, what should I do now? So he says, but I went away to Arabia. And I stayed out in the desert. And I listened to God. And when Paul came back, after God dealt with his life, Paul became the man who wrote so many of those books, the 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1, 2 Timothy, a whole lot of those books. Paul was the guy who wrote. You know why? Because he was called by God. For the next several nights, we're going to look and see how God called Paul. And I hope that through it, some of you will sense a new call. Some of you have been called by God already. Some of you have been called to serve God in ministry of the Word in some real way. Some of you have been called by God into holiness and into different things. It's a matter of obeying. So we're going to talk about that for the next few nights. And I pray the Lord will help us. Now, before I end, I just want to say one thing. I know that this time at night, your attention span isn't too great. But I'm just, you know, but this is all we can do. Get together for this time. And I'm going to try to be, you know, as helpful as I can with the Bible about this matter of the call of God. Can I ask you something? Will you help me out? I like tonight, some of you talk the whole time. You know, I know that you have friends here and everything. I'm not trying to knock you. But you got the whole week to talk to them outside in the other place, you know. And I'd just like to ask you, while I'm talking, would you just be helpful to me and listen? You'd have to look at me and look down if you want, look in the Bible or something. But what happens when you talk to somebody else is, that means two people are distracted. That's all. And if you don't want to listen, I don't want to tell any of you that you have to listen to me. I just want you to be called by God, that's all. If you don't feel I help you out too much, it's all right. But I would like you to give the other people a chance to listen to. So will you help me out? And if we do that, you know, it won't take so long. It won't be quite so painful. Maybe we can all get something out of it. God, that is my prayer. I just pray that the radios could get turned on and that we could hear your voice. I know there's a lot of secondhand religion. We've heard a lot of lectures and teachings, maybe even read some books. Maybe by Watchman Nee or D. Austin Sparks or Lance Lambert or all kinds of great people. But, oh God, I pray that these people right here in this room could hear your voice. God, that's what I'm betting on, that for this present age and for the 1980s, these people now who will be grown up in the 80s, that God, you'll give them the ability to hear your voice and you can call them to do whatever you want them to do. Oh God, I just take the wax out of their ears so they can hear. And God, make their Christianity real so that they can hear your voice like Paul did when he was out in the desert and really get it straight with you want for their lives. God, help us to have a real Christianity and not just a fake secondhand religion. Lord, you know we've got too much of that around already. Would you speak to us like you did to John Denver in the movie? God, would you speak to your people so they can hear your voice and know what you're calling them to do? I know that takes a miracle. You said it in the Bible. It takes a revelation for us to understand what the hope of our calling is. But God, I pray, help us, Lord. God, help me. I want to hear you so that I can share what you're telling me to these brothers and sisters. Help us, Lord. We know that there's nowhere else we can go but to you. Even when we kid around, Lord, you know that our hearts really do want to know your will. So God, help us this week as we're together to know your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now listen, just go on down. Thank you for your attention. You're